through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You may be seated. If you have young children ages 3 through 5 and want to take advantage of the Stepping Stones class, now is the time where they are dismissed to the Sunday school class in the back.
Thank you, Mark. All right. Well, in the year 2017, I direct commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Pennsylvania Army National Guard as a chaplain candidate, and I went to my very first drill with an infantry unit out there. And I had zero training, knew absolutely nothing. I didn't even have my uniform on correct. It was quite the fun drill. We also had that day a change of command ceremony. The commander of that battalion was passing on the command from him to the next battalion commander. And I got to be part of that ceremony. And when we practiced that ceremony, a couple of the captains were doing a very special ceremonious marching as part of the ceremony. And they decided it would be a good idea to put me, the new guy, in between them and practice this march together. I'll never forget that because I had no idea what was going on. I mean, I didn't know their little commands about, you know, about face and all this stuff that they were doing. So here I was in between them, and I think the leadership was having a good time just watching me try to accommodate them by trying to follow along. But thankfully, they didn't put me up there when the actual ceremony took place. I got to stand in the back where I ought to be, and I got to witness this change of command ceremony. And what I learned from watching it is that the change of command ceremony was a recognition of the previous command, including the unit's history, as that is being handed over to the new command and entrusted to them as they carry on the torch of leadership to the next generation. That's what this ceremony was all about. And in this ceremony, it helped me to recognize a few things. It helps me to recognize that this unit is part of an ongoing story as I heard the history and heard where they came from. It also taught me that this story that they are part of was bigger than any individual, as the command had to pass from one leader to another. And also taught me that because the story is bigger than any of them, they would be passing on that torch for a new generation again and again, and that that next generation would be carrying on that torch, entrusted with the mission that had been given to them. And as I was reading this passage, I couldn't help but notice these elements present in this passage. For what we have here is a change of command. That is what is going on here. In this passage, I see that we, this element of being part of an ongoing story. We see references to past people and past promises that only make sense if you understand that there was something going on before this to make mention of these things by. We see past people such as Moses. In verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Who is this Moses? I'll give you a hint. He's not the guy who put animals on a boat. I know he gets confused with that guy a lot, but he's not that guy. Moses. Moses was the previous leader of the children of Israel. He's the one who brought the children out of Egypt. You know, God used him with those 10 plagues to plague Egypt to let Israel go. Moses is the guy who went to Mount Sinai and God worked through him to mediate the covenant with Israel and the 10 commandments. Moses also sent spies into the land of Canaan when Israel was commanded to go into the land of Canaan and take it. And Joshua, the one who we will be talking about here today, was one of those spies. The people refused to go into the land of Canaan after the spies' reports came back, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. And so God caused Israel to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, condemning anyone 20 years of age and older to death in the wilderness. And even Moses, though he was going to be allowed to survive this and take the children of Israel into the land after all this had passed, Moses himself messed up. He disobeyed God's command. He struck a rock to produce water for the people of Israel instead of speaking to it as God had commanded him to do. And so Moses was prevented from leading Israel into the promised land. And this is why Moses and all the generation before them is dead. And this is why Joshua is now receiving the leadership of the people of God as the story continues. We also saw a reference to past promises in this passage here. It says in verse 2, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I'm giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." These are past promises that are being passed down to the next generation. Here the verse says the promises was given to Moses, and it was, but actually this promise goes back hundreds of years earlier to a man named Abraham, when God made the Abrahamic covenant with him and promised him the land of Canaan and told him, "Wherever your foot lands, this is the land I will give you." And now Joshua, here in the book, in this book here, chronicles the conquest of that land, Canaan, where God finally brings this promise to pass as Israel will come into the promised land and acquire it. Past people, past promises speak of an ongoing story. And one of the lessons that we glean from seeing this ongoing story is that God's story is bigger than any one of us. It really is. Reaching all the way back to the first man, Adam, to Noah, who's the guy who put the animals on the boat, to Abraham, to Moses. God's story continued beyond all of their lifetimes. And my friends, it's still going on today. It is. Here we are in the year 2021, and we're still waiting for the fullness of the promises given to Abraham to come to pass, when Jesus will come and usher us into the new heavens and the new earth that all of Abraham's promises are pointing to. My friends, you and I don't know when Jesus is going to come. We don't know when he's going to bring this next chapter to pass and this current chapter to a close and usher us into that new heavens and new earth. We don't know. But until he comes, like Joshua and like all those before him and before us, we are called to live faithfully in light of the promises that we have received, understanding that God's story is far bigger than any one of us, and that his return may still be generations from now. Because God's story is bigger than us, there will continue to be a passing on of the torch. Verse 2, well, we'll back up into verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise.'" There will be a passing on of the torch. That's what we see here as Moses' assistant now arises and takes charge, the charge that once belonged to Moses. Every generation faces this challenge, the challenge of passing on the torch. It's a very real challenge, a challenge that has happened all throughout human history. Israel, as one example, as a nation, has all too frequently had these comments brought up in its history. "And the people served the Lord all the days of so-and-so's life," followed by the next comment, "and there rose another generation that knew not the Lord." This has been a challenge for all of human history. Praise God, he has always preserved a remnant through all of those generations that it says knew not the Lord. There was always a remnant that did take up the torch, though they may not have been in the majority, because God will not let his purposes fail. He is a God from generation to generation to all generations. There will always be a remnant because God has a story that's ongoing. God has a story that will come to pass, and he is ensured it will come to pass. And even during those times when we think the torch did not pass well, there is a remnant, and God is faithful to preserve that remnant during those times. Well, praise God, some generations are faithful with receiving the torch. And some generations even recognize the folly of the generation before them that dropped the torch, and they go and find it and they pick it up. And so this has been proven to be a challenge for generation to generation for passing the torch. So let's look briefly at what this passage has to say about passing on the torch to the next generation. There are two torches that I see in this passage. One is the torch of faith, passing on the torch of faith. We see this most strongly in verses 7 and 8. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Here we see the torch of faith being passed on to Joshua. Joshua, the new leader of God's people, is called by God to obey the law of God passed down to him by Moses. And part of obeying God's law is passing the torch of faith on to the next generation as it is being passed as it has been passed on to him. So the torch of faith must be passed on. Let's look at three means that this passage gives us of passing on the torch from this passage. One of the means of passing on the torch is teaching God's word. We see this in verse 7. It says, "Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you." And that "you" is singular. God is saying, "Moses taught you, Joshua, this law." Joshua, as the up-and-coming leader, received direct teaching from Moses in the law of God, giving him a solid foundation of biblical literacy from which to lead the people of God. And it is important for us, as we are passing on the torch of faith, to provide a foundation of biblical literacy to the next generation. For how can they believe in whom they have not heard? Faith requires a level of knowledge to be able to trust in Christ and his promises. And so we must teach the word of God to the next generation. And there are many ways that we can do this, especially in our day. More than any other generation, we have resources available to us. Let's just name a few: family worship, Bible study groups, Sunday schools, Christian schools, books, media, including cartoons, movies, online sermons. There's free online seminary classes if you really want to get into it. And all of these things are widely available to us, very accessible. Many of them are free. And they're there to help us make sure that the next generation has a solid biblical literacy, which their faith can be placed upon. And I know with this great array of resources that we have, this can be overwhelming. Maybe that's the greatest challenge we face, is too many resources. But the best practice is to simply try things, see what works for you, and stick with it. You don't have to try everything. Another means of passing the torch of faith is by memorizing God's word. Memorizing God's word. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." The only way to really fulfill this command is to memorize the scripture, for then it is available to you all day and all night to meditate on. Memorizing scripture is the gift that keeps on giving. And it's best done at young ages. That's been my greatest treasure from my growing up, was all the scripture my parents forced me to memorize. But it's there. It doesn't go away. And it has been an immense help. For the Bible isn't always in my pocket, but the word is always in my heart. And it'll never go away. Today, again, we have no end of memory tools, apps. The ancients used songs to help with memory work. Mnemonics, media. Again, find what works for you and make use of it. Lastly, and by far the greatest means of passing on the torch of faith has been echoing in the verses we've already read. Did you hear it? It is living God's word. Living God's word. Do you notice all the "be careful to do it" language that we keep hearing in this passage? In fact, I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6, from the law that Moses instructed Israel and Joshua with on how to pass on the torch of faith by living it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting verse 4, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." That's a lot of aspects of our life included there, isn't it? How do you proclaim the Word of God to the next generation? By living it in all of your life. Nothing says, "I believe," like obeying God's law. Nothing says, "This is important," like modeling God's law. And nothing inspires another to follow God's law like observing the faithfulness of another. While this process of passing on the torch of faith does happen outside of individual families, the primary place that the faith gets passed on is in families. Amen. Deuteronomy 6 emphasizes the passing on of the faith to our children. The Abrahamic covenant is a generational covenant. It says in Genesis 17, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And at a recent conference, I heard this interesting statistic. 95% of adult Christians with Christian parents say seeing faith lived in their parents' life impacted their decision to follow the faith in their adult lives. That's huge. That's in keeping with what God's Word says. Faith is primarily passed on through family because it's in the family that you see the truth of the faith lived very deeply. Now, I'm sure you're probably feeling the pressure, but I'm not perfect. Does passing on the faith depend on my faithfulness? Well, not in whole, no. These are simply the means of the gospel reaching the next generation. It is not you and your faithfulness that saves the next generation. Oh, no. It doesn't rest on our works. It rests on the God who calls, the God who saves. We trust in God. He is the only one who is able to make one spiritual alive. But we present the gospel to our children as God has called us to do by being faithful to His Word. And God uses those means to reach the next generation. Oh, and do not be discouraged when you mess up. We are sinners. We will fail. I heard one wise person tell me. He says, "People care more about what you do when you mess up than what you did. They care more about what you do when you mess up than about what you did." And it is times like these when we mess up in front of the next generation that God is able to take what was intended for evil and make it work out for good. This happens when we model how the gospel works when we fail. When we come to our children with humble confession of our sins, we're modeling the gospel. When we come to them with repentance and demonstrate our repentance, we're modeling the gospel. When we seek their forgiveness and seek reconciliation, we're modeling the gospel. So God is able to use even our failings to help draw the next generation to Him. There is another torch, which I'll touch on just briefly, that must be passed on with each generation. And that is the torch of leadership. The torch of leadership. All leaders will reach a time when they can no longer lead. There are many reasons, good, bad, for that. Without the next generation of leaders, the mission comes to an end. No leadership means dispersion of the church. Leaders are important, my friends. Having the right leadership for the church is critical. Bad leadership means going the wrong direction. Poor leadership means lots of extra challenges. The church needs good leadership to exist in an effective state. So passing on the torch is important, the torch of leadership. And passing on the torch of leadership from the main leader is particularly challenging. That is where our church finds itself today. It's challenging, especially when you've had a good leader like we've had. Because the greatest challenge for the next leader is simply that they are different. They're different. And different, my friends, can be bad if it takes you in a bad direction. Or it could just simply be uncomfortable because it's different. You know, different pastors care for the flock differently. And that can be uncomfortable as our expectations adjust to this new way. But my friends, different can also be good. A second challenge to new leadership is that leaders have to earn loyalty or buy-in from those that they lead. And Joshua has seen how God's people have murmured against Moses and rebelled against God the last time they came to the land of Canaan. Joshua knows the consequences if he fails to earn loyalty or buy-in from these people. There is always a time of transition where leaders need to earn that, where they have to earn the loyalty and the buy-in and know that they have it from those they are leading before they can really step out and lead. And keeping that loyalty buy-in is always an ongoing challenge. It really is. Well, passing the leadership torch is very challenging. And carrying the leadership torch is very challenging. God encourages Joshua to be strong and be courageous and not fear or to be dismayed, because new leaders need this encouragement. They face challenges that are very real and can be very heavy for them. So they must be encouraged to be strong and not fear, no matter what may come when they are obeying God's voice. They must be courageous and not be dismayed as they make decisions, knowing that they will never please everyone. And they must always fight for loyalty and buy-in from those they lead. So God encourages Joshua multiple times with these words: be strong, be courageous, do not fear, do not be discouraged. And God also encouraged Joshua multiple times with this comforting truth, the truth of God's continual presence with him. Verse 5 says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua needed to know that God is with him, for he knows that he is not enough. And so it is with us, even today. In fact, we have this same promise given to us by Jesus when he gave his great commission. He says, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We need to know that. Leaders need to know that. So as the chapters come and go, generations come, generations pass, no matter what we face, we must be strong. We must have courage, knowing that God is with us. And we are encouraged to press on, knowing that God's story will continue as He brings about His promises to pass. And that encourages us, my friends, to be diligent about faithfully pursuing His commands and His promises given to us in His Word. And that encourages us to be diligent, to pass on the torches of faith and leadership for as many generations as it takes, until the day that He comes to call us home and He brings all of His promises to pass. What a wonderful day that will be, and we look forward to that time. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You for Your faithfulness that spans the generations. We give thanks to You for this encouraging word that instructs us how to think and act during times of transition. Lord, as the torches pass from one generation to another, Lord, may we be diligent to obey Your word. And may we take comfort in the promises that You have given us and that You have said You are always with us. May Christ be magnified in us, Lord, as Your gospel is proclaimed through us from generation to generation until You come to take us home. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.